Welcome to another broadcast of Unique, Life Starring You on the Artist First Radio Network. All past shows are archived. You can pick them up at artistfirst.com. And now here she is. It's the lovely Susan Stackpole.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us here on YO Unique, Life Starring You. We are what we are because of your excellent support, and we thank you so much. We have a special project we do here at Unique called Pray It Forward, and studies show that our internal vibration affects us and the world around us. And so we just ask that throughout the day, you do even the briefest meditation, take some deep breaths, send yourself and the world loving thoughts, and say even the simplest prayers, and we believe that that just makes such a monumental difference and blesses you and blesses us, and so we thank you for that. We have an amazing, fantastic, wonderful woman with us today. So excited. I'll share more about her, and then we'll bring her in. Her name is Sandra Biskind, and she is a best-selling number one author, a global thought leader, an international speaker, a spiritual mentor, and so much more. She offers a rare combination of business savvy, soul enrichment, and transformational leadership. Sandra, at age 18, experienced a directly profound spiritual awakening, showing how life from a place of bliss and joy and love can be so fulfilling. Sandra's powerful gifts guide her, helping people identify and shift their unconscious programming, and she helps nurture them feeling free and thriving. She interacts with diverse clientele, and she maintains special focus assisting passionate leaders committed to achieving success and having positive global influence. Jack Canfield regards his experience with Sandra sharing the following. She is a profound healer, trainer, speaker, and author. Truly life-changing, so much so I had her work with my entire staff with magical results. And he goes on and on. Please visit her website for more. Sandra and her husband Daniel also received for their multi-global award-winning New Zealand retreat the distinction of being named the 2010's World's Best Luxury Coastal Hotel. Please, for more information, visit Sandra's website, www.thebizkinds.com, and she'll share more information about her book website during the program. And please join me in welcoming the beautiful and gifted and talented Sandra Biskind. Welcome to the program, Sandra.
Wow, Susan, that was some introduction. Thank you, sweetheart. It's just such an honor to be here with you.
Well, you're some lady, that's for sure. So we're in good company. I mean, my goodness, it's just, you have such a radiance about you, and it's something that you just exude in a way that I feel that it's just so, not even contagious, it's just enveloping. It's just enveloping, and it's just such a beautiful experience and such an honor. So thank you so much for, in advance, already sharing with us your empowering enlightenment and insight and wisdom. We're so grateful.
Well, you obviously are on that incredible frequency of love that you've picked that up. So thank you. I just wanted to tell you a quick story straight away. This is so weird. You just triggered something off for me. And that was, Daniel and I spent 5 months in a seaside resort in Australia before we moved to the United States. And there was a young 17-year-old girl, very pretty. And every day we went to the cafe that she was working at, and she'd serve us coffee. And 5 months later, we get there, and they said, well, we're leaving tomorrow. And she started crying, and she said, what is it? Just what is it, with tears pouring down her face? And we just said, we just love you. And she said, oh, I thought that was it. She said, since you've been coming in here, my whole life has changed, and I feel so much better, and I know I'm loved, and I'm worthy of love. Thank you. And, you know, we hadn't had a conversation with her about any of this. It was just this high-frequency presence of love that she felt. And that's exactly what you just triggered off then. It's like it does envelop, you know, when when people are dedicated to living on a particular frequency, and for us it is unconditional love, it's the divine source love, then that's what people are enveloped in, and it changes our lives in so many magical ways.
So it's so true, and that is one of several stories you share in your empowering book. We're going to discuss a little bit into the program, so I'm so grateful for you sharing that story. And there's something so true, and what comes to mind, Sandra, is this idea about the idea, for instance, like a smile is a universal language, right? And love is a universal language. And one of the things, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, that is really great about your teaching and about the work that you do and you share in the book is this understanding of how we can come into our true selves and whatever is going on in the world around us come from a place where we're being proactive and responsive instead of reactive, where we set the vibration internally and we let that reflect out like ripples in a pond versus the external making its way in, which so often is the case. And for many of us who haven't been given the tools, have a desire like, okay, I want to have, you know, I desire to have this peace and this calmness and this love and to stay in that state. And you and Daniel, your book, do such a great job sharing how we can do that. So we're going to get to that in just a second. And maybe just to give us some context, Sandra, you could share with us a little bit about you growing up. Did you come into the world where you were a young one and having some idea like, wow, I have more of an awareness maybe than your peers, where you were questioning, why am I here and what is the meaning of life? Or is it something more in your young adulthood where you became aware of the insight and the gifts that you have?
Oh, that's a fantastic question. I tell people that from the age of 3 that this incredible divine being called Jesus used to come and talk to me, and he would tell me who I was and what I was here for and what I was meant to do. And and I remember when I went to my mother and said, "Mummy, what does Jesus talk to you about at night?" She went into shock, because we weren't a religious family, and so she, you know, didn't even know where I had heard that word ever. And she said, "Well," she deflected and said, "Well, what does he talk to you about?" And so that was like my first awakening of, well, yes, I have this, I've already got this connection, and I was using super awareness even from a young child, because I was obviously speaking with a divine being who called, his name was Jesus, and I didn't know I didn't know that was special or anything. I just knew that it felt good. And then, you know, when I was 14, my papa died, and we went to the funeral parlor, and I looked at him in the coffin, and I went, no, that's not my grandfather, that's not him. And I thought, where are you, papa? And I looked up, and in the corner of the room, there he was, smiling at me. And I thought, oh, yeah, and I relaxed. I thought, oh, yeah, there you are.
Wow.
You know, and so it was, you know, many experiences like this. For instance, just before he died, I haven't told anyone this, by the way, just before he died, my mother and I, we went to the docks. He was going on a cruise. He left Melbourne and he went to Sydney that day. And we went onto the boat to say goodbye to him, and the two of us were standing on the dock holding hands. We were sobbing, saying goodbye. And I was sobbing because I thought, I'm never going to see him ever again. Like, there was this knowing, and I think my mama was the same. And that night he died in Sydney. And so it was, there's always been this knowing. I didn't know that I was going to almost die. That was a surprise to me at the age of 18. And you alluded to this in your introduction, where my right ovary burst with a huge cyst and they couldn't find a surgeon. So, 9 hours later, I was almost gone. But I was in that awakened place, and I didn't know that at the time. Of course, I didn't know anything about enlightenment or awakening, but you know, I was in this state of peace. I was like, wow, this is what life is about. This peace is, this is normal. And I knew I was love, and everything was just love. Like I was really seeing reality for the first time. And there was awareness, like I was using my awareness to know what was going on all around me. And I totally trusted in what was going on. There was nothing I didn't trust about the process. Even dying, it was like, oh, wow, this is just so beautiful. And there was an integrity to the whole situation. It was almost like there was a strength, and everything about it was whole and complete. And then I was totally neutral, like nothing was pressing my buttons, not what the doctors and nurses were doing, my mum crying, nothing. I was just completely neutral. And I was in a place of unity and oneness, which was like, oh, so they're me and I'm them, and there was no difference. I mean, there was only one life, not 8 billion lives. And wow. And then, of course, being mindful all of that time of what was going on inside me, and the beauty and the wonder of understanding that my emotions were not out of control. I wasn't scared or upset or anything. I was just in this pure state of love. And I've just described to you, and it was my very first ever experience, that when Daniel and I started writing the book, we thought, let's put the chapters of the book up on the wall and let's see, you know, what we're going to write about. We need to figure out what the chapters are, and we put them all up because those are the things we wanted to write about. And I looked up and I said, Daniel, doesn't that spell platinum? And he looked at me and it was like, wow, we had just cracked the code. We just found the password to crack the enlightenment happiness success code. And it was so exciting. And I realized then that I had already experienced platinum when I was dying. And we realized that we wanted people to be able to crack this code to happiness and success, and to understand who they really are, that what reality is, without having to almost die, without having to be, you know, sitting in a cave or on top of a mountain meditating for 40, 50 years, that in this day and age, when people want everything now, we needed to be able to give it to them now. And so that's what the book really is about. It's a system to help people, you know, become their own code breaker, and to bring themselves into this place of this depth of joy and love and health and well-being. Hmm.
It's just, for anyone, I think, and we'll talk more about the book and why this is the case, for anyone who's looking for an instruction manual in understanding how to navigate self and the world and others and emotions and relationships and all these things that bring these monumental questions of who am I and why am I here and why do things happen. It really offers tools helping us understand who we are and why do we respond the way that we do, and if things are not working, what we can do to change that and be more in a space of love. Regardless, like you were saying, that you were in, for most people, what would be a very immobilizing situation, both emotionally and physically, and for you to have this immense divine serenity and just this calm, enlightened awareness. The book really offers the steps of how we can experience that in our own lives, and so there's just such a wealth of information.
Oh, I'm so glad you love this book.
it's
so gratifying for us. I was just going to say, when you spent 5 years of your life, I mean decades really, and 5 years to writing it, and the reason why it took us so long to write it was because we put on live events and we worked with our private clients to check the system out, to beta test it. I mean, there's thousands of people around the world who have actually been through the system now and who are using it and getting the results that we say that you'll get in the book. And so we didn't want to write one word that wasn't the truth, and we didn't want to write one word that wasn't backed up by the you know, empirical research that we were doing. So thank you.
As someone who, not only my own life, I know a lot of other people who we've worked with, coaches and counselors, and we've been to the conferences and the seminars and the workshops. And sometimes if you're in a situation where you haven't really gotten the anticipated results, there you start to feel like, okay, if one more person tells me change my thoughts, change my life, I'm going to scream, because I've put in the effort and I've done the things that they've said to do, and not really anything is changing. And so one of the things, and maybe you can, there's just so many different layers. So one of the things that I found really helpful was this idea where you talk about radical responsibility and forgiveness, and you approach it in a way that helps us understand how we can shift ourselves internally, and by shifting that vibration, the world shifts as well, right? And one of the things I think of, especially with this idea of taking radical responsibility, there comes a question, it's like, well, what about for, especially for people who have really experienced some, to put it mildly, unpleasant things in life beyond their control? That tends to be a very touchy subject, because it's like, well, wait a second. If I'm supposed to take responsibility, what does that mean? So maybe you could talk a little bit about the ideas of integrity and radical responsibility and forgiveness. And I know that that's a lot all in one question. However you'd like to parse that out for us, we're at your, you know, just ready for however you feel comfortable sharing that with us, Sandra.
Yeah, thank you. I think that this is really important. We say that for each and every one of us needing to take radical personal responsibility. And a lot of people talk about taking 100% responsibility, but we're going beyond that. We're going into that place where we're saying, look, just imagine this, that you are the director, the producer, the star, you know, you're the writer of your life. And, you know, we've been hooked into this idea that we have to come back to learn lessons, that we have to be here to learn something. And what we're saying is, well, really, we're here for one reason. We're here to reveal our true self. We're here to see how much we can love. And you can't love whilst you're trying to undo something. And a lot of people say, oh, you know, I was undoing karma when I had that accident, or the way they were talking to me, I obviously had a lesson to learn. And it kind of drives me crazy a little bit. It is a bit of the, you know, the spirituality of the moment. If we're saying, what about this? What about the fact that you might have an unconscious program, and in your unconscious, which is totally hidden from you, which means it's not your fault, you don't even know it's there, and you have a program that says, I don't deserve love. Now, this is a very typical program, and it's one that I correct out of people all the time. And when that program says, I don't deserve love, it can also say, abuse me, abandon me. It can say so many things. And so then you find yourself in a situation where you know, your parents don't treat you the way you want them to, or you are abandoned as a child, or, you know, there's so much that goes on that you find partners that seem to love you to start with, and then all of a sudden they're reading your script, and your script says, I don't deserve love. And they're going, wow, okay, they don't deserve love. So, you know, let me go out and spend the night out with the boys all night, or, you know, or the girls all night, or whatever. And so what happens is that taking radical personal responsibility means understanding that it's time for each and every one of us to delve into our unconscious mind and find out what the events, emotions, and decisions of the past are that are hidden from us, but, you know, rear their ugly heads up and slap us around and trigger off these events that we think, well, what? You know, what did I do to deserve this? And the fact is, we are on a frequency, we've got this internal block or this internal program running that we don't even know is going, and it is creating the scenario that's happening in our life. So when you do that, and that's really, really radical personal responsibility, isn't it? Because we're saying, let's take responsibility for what we don't even know is there. It is hidden, and you know, however, there are ways to go in and get it when we do our live events and our online programs and everything that we teach live and online. We absolutely teach people how to access the unconscious, how to access those programs. And it's one of the most life-altering experiences, because that's when, you know, when you say you go to a weekend and you think, well, how do I change my thoughts? When you understand that the thoughts you really need to change are the unconscious ones, that's when you start making sustainable shifts. So that's answering one part of the question. Then the other part that you mentioned was forgiveness, and really, what are we really forgiving? Well, firstly, mm-hmm. we're forgiving ourselves, because we've got that program running inside of us, and we're the ones that are creating everything in our world. We're the ones who are reacting in the way that we're reacting. So we're the ones that we forgive first, because we're going, hang on a minute, I didn't even know I had that script running. You know, why is that person bullying me? Because I've got this program running that's, hey, I don't deserve love. I'm nothing. I'm not worth anything. And a lot of my clients and people I work with, believe me, this is very normal in the human psyche. This isn't just one or two people. This is almost everyone I deal with has this unconscious, I don't deserve, I'm not worthy, I'm a fake, I'm a fraud. And this is like an epidemic that is on the planet, and people don't realize it's there. Even the most confident-looking people can still have this program running in their human computer, and it comes up in different ways. So we're really actually forgiving. Once we've forgiven ourselves for writing the script and having it in there, hidden, we're forgiving other people's programs, not other people. So other people are also running with their unconscious programs. They're also acting out because their parents taught them how to act that way, or their grandparents. Remember that each one of us has within us the information locked in our DNA that has been passed down from generation to generation to generation. So let's say that you're struggling with money, and you think, why am I struggling with money? I can make a lot of money, but then I lose it. And then it could be that your great-great-grandfather or great-grandfather was in the Depression, and it was like, money doesn't come easy. There's not enough money. And so that's hidden in our DNA, in our information center, and that's sabotaging us every time we make money. We're going, oh, hang on a minute, it's hard for money to come to me. There's not enough money. The minute we go there, we start sabotaging our ability to be a magnet to money, because we're not on the right frequency. So there's forgiving ourselves, it's forgiving others. This is my favorite subject, by the way, because forgiveness is such a difficult thing, and the ego mind never, ever wants to forgive ourselves or anyone, ever. And it wants to keep us separate, alone, downtrodden, and diminished. However, our true self doesn't need a reason to forgive. Our true self just forgives naturally, because it knows the truth. It knows that it's all a story. It's what we've written. It's what we've kept deep inside of us, and it's time to let it go. So I thought there were three parts to that question, but I've done the radical personal responsibility and forgiveness. Was there something else?
I had mentioned about integrity, although I think that is partially included in both of those things. So if you'd like to add, that's great. If not, what you shared with us is really excellent.
Well, you realize that integrity is the I in platinum. So that, you know, the platinum password that has cracked the code to this incredible life that we have the potential to live, it is the peace, love, awareness, trust, integrity, neutrality, unity, and mindfulness. And each one of those aspects of who we are, because that's what they are, they all have a blocking frequency that limits our ability to live in that incredible space. And integrity is one of those ones where we're saying it's developing the knowledge and the wisdom to know what is right, and it's having the courage to follow through, but it's also about wholeness. It's about being whole and complete. And I remember I was speaking in New Zealand once, and it was a whole room full of women, and there was one man sitting at the back, and he had his arms around his girlfriend. And when it came time for questions, he shot his hand up and he said, what is the greatest gift I can give my beloved? And every woman in the room went, oh, they all wanted to be his beloved.
Right.
And the answer to him was, the greatest gift you can give your beloved is your own wholeness, so that when she looks into your eyes, she sees her wholeness looking back at her. And so honestly, we've probably built this whole system around that one answer, because that's what integrity is. Integrity is about being whole and complete. And the blocking frequency to that is fragmentation. That's where we allow our minds to be fragmented. Our body, mind, and soul, we're not integrating them. We're not using all of the other platinum aspects. So, integrity is weaves its way through every single thing that we do in our life.
One of the things that comes to mind as you share that story about all the women in the room, and the idea of what's the best gift you can give your beloved, right? To some extent, it's the best gift that you can give yourself, because the more complete and present you are, the more you're able to give, the more you radiate love. And so the two things that come to mind is if you could share a little bit, you and Daniel so wonderfully embody from both a business standpoint and a relationship standpoint, this idea of what really is love and embodying all the factors and all the things that go into this idea of platinum. And then also, as you go into that, one of the things that seems like is often we will look to a relationship to give ourselves permission to do something that we won't necessarily do on our own, right? So there's this idea of self-love a lot of times, that for many people it's only in the context of a relationship that they'll allow themselves to feel loved or treat themselves a certain way. And so maybe you could share a little bit about that. And then from a personal standpoint, how you and Daniel embody platinum, both from a business standpoint and a personal standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So relationship-wise, this is really an interesting one, because I had an abusive marriage from the age of 20 to 27. And honestly, at that stage, I had no idea how to handle it. In fact, I remember at the age of 24 going to my husband, who was 34, and saying, hey, we've got some problems, can we talk about it? And he looked at me and he said, I don't have any problems. If you do, piss off. And excuse me, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but that was exactly, they were his words. And and I was pretty slow, because it took me 3 more years to get up the courage to leave that relationship. Mm-hmm. And when I did, I knew I was in trouble, and I was like, what am I going to do? And I was invited to sit in a circle, a prayer, meditation, and healing circle. And that's when I discovered meditation, and that's when I also began to master the art of changing my frequency. So that was such a turning point. You know, when you have these turning points in your life, I mean, obviously at 18, almost dying my mother dying 2 months later. There's so many turning points, and we all have them. You know, you walk across the street and you get lost, or you do something, or someone says or does something, you have an event happen and it changes the direction of your life. And so I've had so many of those. But that was the one thing, you know, beginning meditation, the healing circle, the prayer, that took me and put me like 180 around, and I understood that I had come home. And that's when I started focusing on me. You'll laugh at this, because I said, okay, I'm going to spend 1 year saying yes to everything spiritual. I'm going to read the self-development books. I'm going to go overseas and work with spiritual masters. I'm just going to spend 1 year doing that for me. Well, 40 plus years later, I'm still diligent about it. But the fact is that I realized that this is where the wholeness comes in. I realized that when I focused on my inner game, when I focused on who I wanted to be and how I wanted to show up in the world, everything changed. And so when I wasn't focused on that, I found myself in an abusive marriage. I found myself in a business that was failing. I found myself with staff who didn't really want me there. And the inner game work and, really being able to employ Platinum and a lot of the tools in Codebreaker, that's what changed my life. So by the time I met Daniel, I had been single for 18 years. I was feeling whole and complete. And I had relationships with some lovely, lovely people, but I didn't really want to get married because I didn't feel the need to have another person complete me. Now, that's a very rare state. I mean, I meet a lot of women who say, and a lot of men say, oh, I don't need a partner, I'm fine. And I look at them and I go, oh, no, sweetheart, you're not fine. But right. I really was in this place where I had done so much work on myself that I had this relationship with the divine within me, as me, that was full and complete. And when I met Daniel, he was in a very similar place. So, and obviously, look, I was given the word, you're going to marry this man, before I even met him. And he had been asking God. Now, for any of you who don't have your perfect divine love relationship right now, you want to listen to this. Every morning, he was in a marriage that was not working for him, and it was almost 20 years, and he really wanted it to work. And every morning in prayer and meditation, he would say, God, thank you for your perfect divine love relationship for me. And he said it as though he already had it. He was giving thanks for something that he had. Wow. So he was on this frequency of, thank you, God, for this your perfect divine love relationship for me. I love this relationship. And he would say, if it's not with my wife, okay. If it's with someone else, okay. I don't care what gender, color, creed, whatever your highest and best is for me. And he did this for 2 years. And one day he confesses that he did say, God, if she looks all right, that would be good. But that's okay. Whatever you've got in store for me. Mm-hmm. And everybody laughs. So the fact is that if you don't need a list for your relationship and you hand it over and allow God's highest and best for you, then as Daniel says right now, his list would have fallen so far short of what God gave him. And I must say that I definitely didn't have a list, because I didn't think I was ever getting married again. And I could never, ever have come up with anybody the likes of Daniel Biskind, because there isn't another man on the planet like him. And so in our relationship, we're coming together from this place of gratitude and wholeness. So we're understanding that both of us have an integrity code, both of us have a God code. Our soul codes are pretty strong. And so when you put that together, you get what you get in that book. You get what you get when you come and work with us. You get this whole and completeness that manages to absolutely empower you to change your life and have the same thing. And so we've been working together 24/7 for 20 years in our businesses. That's how we managed to create an award-winning resort, by the way. And that resort was built for people to come from all over the world to work with us doing these personal development spiritual programs. And when people would walk in there, they'd start shaking and crying because the unconditional love was so powerful. It was on a power place. And we were told, because we live by divine guidance, now you have to be able to take this unconditional love and this energy that resonates here in this planet, in this resort, wherever you go in the world, even if you're in a hotel in the Los Angeles airport or wherever you are, you have to be able to recreate this energy so when people walk in the room and they speak with you, they understand what love is. And that's what we had to do. And so the relationship part of it for us is understanding that we don't need each other, but that the love that we have is reflected back at each other. And just this incredible gratitude, like both of us wake up in the morning and say hello and with almost tears in our eyes, with this, oh, I'm so, so grateful that God gave you to me. You know, it's just such a beautiful thing. And but we work at that. So this, and a lot of relationships, you know, a lot of people might have this, but they're not working at it. And we realize that, you know, we teach this in the book, that if I said something to Daniel in a tone of voice he didn't like, or he did to me, we wouldn't simply say immediately, wow, that didn't feel good when you said that to me or when you had that tone of voice. And then whichever one of us it is goes, whoa, hang on a minute, I'm really sorry. First of all, I don't want to hurt you. And secondly, let's have a look at what triggered that off. Now, what's the trigger? And we actually do the work and go in and find out, oh, I get it, because we're taking personal radical responsibility. You know, when I met Daniel, he got angry at something that I did at one stage. And I just said to him, if you ever raise your voice to me ever again, I will leave you. You will not see me for dust. I said, I was married to an angry man for 7 years, and I'm not going there ever again. And he just looked at me and said, okay, sweetheart, that will never happen again. And guess what? It hasn't. And that's the thing. It's being able to say to your partner, this is what is acceptable. This is what is not acceptable. And you having your partner's happiness as one of your highest priorities. Like what we say, and this is a secret to any brilliant relationship, and parents know it because they want it for their children, and that is that, can you imagine if all you wanted to do was support your partner in being the best version of who they can possibly be? Because we know that parents do that with their children, but why don't we do it with our partner? And that's what we're doing. We're with each other. Daniel totally supports me in being the best version of who I can possibly be, and I do the same for him. And that's a big, big missing piece to relationship work, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, from a psychological standpoint, one of the things they say is the experiences that we have as children, whether it be with parents, siblings, teachers, people in authority, that when there's things that happen in those relationships, sometimes as adults, similar relationships having similar characteristics as those where maybe we were not treated well or kindly or fairly or whatever, feel familiar and we gravitate toward them. And sometimes as a way of beginning to recognize what you were saying about maybe what's going on in our unconscious and saying, wow, okay, I keep finding myself having the same sort of relationship. And like you did in your first marriage, you eventually get to a point of saying, I don't really think I'd like to have this experience anymore. I think I'd like to experience something else. And so there's, right, and so this idea of what's comfortable and what's familiar depending on the foundation, even if it seems comfortable, quote unquote, it might not necessarily be healthy. It might just be something we experienced early on. So this idea of really taking a look at ourselves and what motivates us and having an understanding really, I think, helps create a safe space in our relationships, because we're able to show up more consistently and we're able to more clearly express. And I think that that honesty, if you express it in a kind and respectful way, it helps people feel safe. And one of the things maybe you could share, Sandra, for both you and Daniel, especially having been in previous relationships that were not what you desired, and you explore this in the book in greater detail, and again, we just recommend people definitely, because there's some great exercises and insights and things in there. Just really briefly, what is something that people can do in this moment if they're listening to what you're saying and they're saying, well, that worked for them because they are enlightened or they have special gifts. If they're not feeling particularly deserving or feeling worthy, and they're listening and saying, well, this works for other people. It couldn't possibly work for me. I've tried everything and it doesn't work. I don't believe that this is possible. What's something that people can do to begin to shift in this moment, to let just even the slightest glimmer of light of hope?
Yeah, okay. Well, first of all, I want them to know that that you can shift, and that where you are is not the truth and not reality. It just feels like it at the moment because it's what you're used to. And by the way, just addressing that point, people do get addicted to their pain, and they do get addicted to particular situations, and they keep recreating them. And again, that's because of those hidden programs. But I would love to share with you something that we teach people all over the world, and it's called the Four Questions, and it will help you change your state of being instantly. And it just means you have to be honest with yourself. So let's say in the book, in every chapter, by the way, it's called the Four Questions. So in every chapter, there's the four questions. What am I feeling about love, peace, awareness, trust? And so let's just say that it's love, because it seems to be a theme running through today anyway. Let's say I don't feel love. What am I feeling? I don't feel love. I feel empty, alone. And that could even be when you're in relationship too, by the way. And then what am I focused
sometimes
on?
Sometimes even more so.
Yeah, that's exactly right. What am I focused on? I'm focused on, wow, I'm not good enough. I don't deserve love. Why would anyone love me? And then what do I want to feel? Wow, that's an easy one. I really want to feel loved and like I'm worthy. What focus will serve that? In other words, what thoughts do I need to think that will serve that? And that is, wow, I actually need to be grateful for the love that dwells within me, that is source. I need to know the truth, and the truth is that I can trust. I have always been worthy of love, that I am supported. And really, really go into the answer to question number four is like, what focus will serve that? Like, I can trust that I am loved. I can trust that I am worthy of love and always have been. I am a perfect divine being. You know, I am love. The love that is within me is the love that I am craving. And really tap in and start to tap into that source love. Now, one of the things that you can do for those people listening now is that on the codebreakerbook.com website, so it's codebreakerbook.com, you can go in and you don't have to order the book, you don't have to buy a thing, but there are three free meditations that are a part of this beautiful life system, and they're downloadable, and please get them because they will start to shift the way you think and feel about yourself. They were deliberately produced in a way that as you listen to them, they begin to change your frequency, and of course, they go into your information center and they start feeding your information, this new information. In other words, they start reprogramming you So you listen to them long enough and go, oh, peace really is my natural state. Oh, love really is who I am. And your whole beingness starts to change as your frequency changes with these words and these beautiful meditations. So please feel free to go into codebreakerbook.com, download the meditations and start listening to them. There's a lot of, we give away a lot. There's free meditations, there are free courses and everything so that you can really change your state pretty well instantly. But I think the important thing is to know the truth, that if it's not love, it's not real. And I always say to people, look, if you're feeling fear, negativity or pain, understand that your ego mind is playing a game with you. And you need to say, I'm not playing this game. The truth is that I can trust that I deserve love and support. And from this moment forward, I am going to give myself the love and the support that I need. Changes your frequency, changes your whole outlook, changes how you show up, and then other people start to treat you differently as well.
Wow, that's so brilliant. We have just a little bit of time. One of the things that came to mind as you were sharing that, Sandra, is this idea of the stories we tell, right, that become our identity, and especially if it's things that happen maybe when we were younger that felt very unkind and were beyond our control and processed in a way that seemed traumatic. And there becomes this idea, it seems like from the ego mind, that it's like, well, if you don't keep those boundaries and those walls and everything that you have in place, not only is the same thing going to happen again, maybe something that is even more inconceivable where it keeps repeating the patterns and things like that. So what's something that we can do in terms of helping calm the egoic mind, the ego mind, and stepping more into a place of going, okay, even though these boundaries and these things that I felt like I had to have in place for so long did to some extent help keep me safe, they're now not allowing the love and the passion and the peace and everything I'm really desiring in my life now. How can we release the attachment we have to story and to start to allow some of those things to come in? So when we're saying to ourselves, oh, I'm worthy of love and things like that, there still may be this unconscious programming. So what can we do about releasing our stories?
Yeah, look, honestly, please come and work with us, because I want to get rid of that unconscious program. That would be the big deal. Obviously, reading the book. Now, Susan, you might have had this experience that when you read the book, did you start to feel calmer, more centered, more whole just as you were reading it?
So the crazy thing is, before even reading it, from the time the book came into my possession, there was this immense peace and calm that came into my life. And I'm just like, okay. I mean, it was so profound. I'm just like, okay, is this a calm before the storm or what's happening? So from that extent, just the vibrational resonance the book has, I would just recommend people have it. And then beyond that, like just the reading of it, it's, oh, I understand why I processed this in a certain way. Or, oh, here's why that I've, you know, done other things and these patterns keep repeating. And so now I have some awareness of helping me have a clearer understanding of, okay, well, when this comes up, maybe I can approach it this way. Or like you said, recognizing what's real and what's not real, right? This idea of perfect love is really the only true thing. Anything else, maybe take a minute and examine what's really going on.
Exactly. So the book is such a gift that it's our legacy work to the world, really. It's what will be in the last third or quarter of our life, whatever it is we have left. It's what we'll be teaching it's the information we'll be using to help people come into this incredible place that we live in. But one of the first things that people should do is start to meditate. Again, I said, you know, get the free meditations, but when I started meditating, everything was going wrong for me. Like at the age of 27, I still had failing health. You know, my businesses were going through a financial disaster. I'd just come out of a painful marriage. I mean, if you really think about it, I was coping with a lot for a 27-year-old, and it felt like mm-hmm. I had no support whatsoever. And so sitting in that circle and meditating, that changed everything. I thought, hang on, I've got a safe haven here. I've got a place where I can go into my own heart and I can really, you know, really connect with the source of my being and connect with God. And from that place, obviously that brought back memories of, you know, when I was a child and speaking of Jesus and being told that I was a child of God, that, you know, that I was love and I was here to teach love. And bringing back that, and if everyone on this planet could understand that, whether they're told that by Buddha or Allah or whoever it is, nature can tell us that, right? Doesn't matter what the God of your understanding is, that you are love, that you are a child of love, and that you have come here to express love and teach love and be love. And imagine if everybody understood that, what a different world we would have. So please meditate, meditate, meditate. The more you meditate, the more you get to go in and understand who you are and, you know, what the truth is. You know, do whatever you can do. Read the books, do the work. And not just my book, you know, our book. You know, there are lots of brilliant, brilliant information out there. We're in the age of information now, where you can really get a lot of help when you need it. And there are so many people who are suffering. And one of the things that I'm going to tell you is that it's no point absolutely investing in a book or a live event or an online program or anything unless you are prepared to show up 100% and actually do the work. Because the teacher, the mentor can only offer you this beautiful mm-hmm. frequency that catalyzes yours, and it's up to you. It's like it was up to Daniel and I to go to India and work with the gurus of enlightenment. It was up to us. You know, I worked with a USA guru, who a spiritual master who came to Melbourne twice a year for 6 years. I didn't miss sitting in his presence. It's like I had my own guru in my own hometown. And I say the word guru because that means from darkness into light, but I really meant she was my mentor. And, you know, she only left her body 2 years ago at the age of 100. Get yourself a mentor. Start to meditate. Do the work. Just do what it takes, because in the end, the results are exactly what you want. I remember the first time I sat in the meditation circle at 27, I looked at some of the people there and my mentor, and I thought, I want to be exactly like them now. and I laughed because I realized, when we've come home to the truth, when we've come home to the love that we are, when we've come home to our own spiritual beingness, we want it straight away. Let the process unfold. You know, we've still got all the challenges to work through, but you start to work through them from a very different perspective. And then all of a sudden you realize, there is a calm here that I didn't experience before. Yeah, I am a happier person. And some mornings you're going to wake up with a smile on your face and go, wow, what's that? Why am I smiling? And it's because mm-hmm. you have come home to your own spirit, you know, to the truth about who you are.
So beautifully said. So beautifully said. Sandra, as we wrap up, could share maybe a little bit more about the website and anything else specifically you'd like people to visit there?
Yeah, I'd love everyone to go to thebiskind.com. That's our last name. thebiskinds, thebiskinds.com. Because on that website, there's a lot more information about us, but there's so many things for you. You know, there are free meditations, there are some free programs, and then there's also a list of events, both live and online, that you can join us, and that we can help take you into this depth of your being. I would say you take a quantum leap in your spirituality, because we'll turbocharge where you are now to where you really want to be. And also, I think the most important thing, of course, is do whatever you can do to get clear of these unconscious programs. So if you go to thebiskinds.com, and please go to Facebook at the Biskinds and come in there, because I really love connecting with people there, because I can give you free meditations. I can, we can have some fun there. So that's Facebook, the Biskinds. And just generally stay in touch. Again, we're here for you. We love you. That's our job. and hopefully when you read that book, or when you listen to the book, because the audio book, Daniel and I made the commitment to read the book ourselves, so that it would have our frequency in it. I think you've read it. You're listening to it, aren't you?
I did. It's fantastic. I advise anyone. It's wonderful, because you and Daniel just have such calming energy, and there's some lovely music, and I feel that it's almost easier listening, because you can just relax and really absorb the information. So I would highly recommend definitely on audible.com. It's available, and I would highly recommend.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, so, we all are spiritual beings. We all are having this human experience, which isn't a lot of fun most of the time. So what I would say is, let's make it fun. I mean, we know the truth about you. We know that you are a perfect divine being, and that you have simply come here to evolve, grow, and have fun. So let's start doing that together.
Oh, thanks. Just wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And that idea of having fun, right, especially as adults, like this idea of adding more play in life is so beneficial. And as we conclude, Sandra, is there maybe, in addition to everything you've so generously shared with us, anything for you that is particularly special, maybe an insight your mentor has offered, or just something that for you is really a fundamental truth and wisdom that you'd be so kind as to leave with us?
Yeah, I think the fundamental truth for me, and when I deviate from it, I suffer, and that is that I am love. When we say a prayer, we say, thank you, God, that we can see with your eyes, and that we can hear with your ears, that we can speak with your voice, and that our hearts beat as one with your heart. And, when you absolutely come to that place and that becomes your fundamental truth, wow, everything falls into place. And we're starting Platinum Circles soon, and that's going to be where people get to pray with us, meditate with us, and really be in this deep, abiding place of our heart and the heart of God. And so, yeah, that's it for me. It's like just remember who you are, regardless of what is happening. And as you do that, you do change your frequency, which helps to change your life.
Wow. Sandra, you are such a gift. You might just recommend, pardon me, people going to your website, thebiskinds.com, www.thebiskinds.com. And you're just such a gift, you and Daniel both. And thank you so much for your generosity in just sharing your enlightenment and your radiance and your wisdom with us. We're so, so grateful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Susan. It's been an honor to be with you and everyone who's listening today.
Oh, it's our honor, mutual honor, and just such a wonderful treat. So thank you so much, Sandra. And thank you, listeners, for joining us here on YO Unique, a life starring you. Remember, be kind, be loved, be true, be you.
You've been listening to Unique with Susan Stackpole on the Artists First Radio Network. All past shows are free to download. To do so, visit the unique webpage at artistfirst.com. The views and opinions expressed on Unique are not necessarily those of the host, guest, or owners of Artist First Radio. Tune in again next week at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, for another broadcast of Unique with Susan Stackpole.